Teddy, I'm going to start with you on this one. Which teams should make a big push for Lamar?
I see the Colts sitting there, Christine, and I think, do they need a quarterback? Yes. Are they, you know, tired of going through the rotating door that is the quarterback, and he's old and all of a sudden he can't play anymore? I think it's time for them to actually make a move and go for Lamar Jackson. The one thing is this, do you have an owner that has the guts to go out there and make the deal? And somewhat upset the membership, as they call it, in terms of all the NFL owners, in terms of giving Lamar Jackson a heavily guaranteed money deal. That's Jim Irsay, in my opinion. So you've got the owner, you've got the situation. I think the Colts are a good place for Lamar to land.
I think the perfect place is a team that I believe will be the Philadelphia Eagles of the NFC. I think the Detroit Lions, and they have the ammunition. They have the roster. Look at what they've done. Their Achilles heel with their inability to stop people. In free agency, they go out and they get Gardner Johnson, right? They get Cameron Sutton. They've shored up. They have two first-round draft picks because of the Matthew Stafford trade. This would be the most explosive player that they've had since Barry Sanders, right? I know Calvin Johnson was, you know, everything in Megatron, but Lamar Jackson, as far as the wow factor, selling tickets, a fan base that has been, you know, tortured. I'm from there. My dad hasn't had a great Thanksgiving since I was like 5 years old because they lose every day on Turkey Day. That dessert always sucks by the time we get to it. You talk about the best offensive line potentially. You talk about the best offensive line in football with the Lions. You talk about, I believe, the perfect blend between running the ball and throwing the ball when you think about their offensive philosophy and how that offense. You talk about Jameson Williamson coming back, St. Brown, Swift. They have weapons galore. They can put up points with anybody. You add Action Jackson, and you still can probably get a third or fourth for Goff, who I think acquitted great of himself. And also, because they can move down, they have six. And you heard Dale Tannenbaum talk about Hooker, right? That means that six is probably going to be a quarterback still available. So I look at teams like the Washington Commanders that may want to move up, and the Lions can drop down, and they can get their future first-round draft pick because of the compensation to move from 16 to 6 to get a guy like maybe Anthony Richardson. You think about a team at 19 like Tampa that may give up next year's first-round draft pick, so then you can offer that, you know, to the Baltimore Ravens to get Lamar Jackson and still have a first-round draft pick to add to a team that's prime and ready. I think the Detroit Lions is ready to take over that division. I think they're the best team within that division, and they're just getting started. And they have $20 million in draft cap space because they've done a great job in drafting young talent, and it's cheap right now.
Yeah, and I think teams – that's I actually like that, Bart. I mean, man, the Lions, that would be something else. I think teams are going to be sitting on their hands for the next couple weeks. And whenever teams start to make these moves, it's because that draft is coming. That draft gets closer, and then you start to feel that time where the teams start telling you the truth again based on their actions. To come draft time, there's going to be a lot of Lamar Jackson talk, I think.
Yeah, you talk about Tampa Bay going with Baker Mayfield. They have an opportunity to have Baker Mayfield for a bridge for 1 year, but they can move up to get a guy like Anthony Richardson or maybe Hendon Hooker, or Will Levis. Somebody's going to fall. With Hendon Hooker added to the mix, that just adds six quarterbacks. I believe that puts the Lions at prime real estate at six to move down and get somebody's future first-round draft pick for next year and still have two first-round draft picks this year, one to offer to the Ravens this year, one to offer to them the next year. And it's about time in the Motor City they get an engine. They've had a beautiful car. They ain't had an engine a long time. It is nothing like a Ferrari engine in Action Jackson.
Nothing to add there, Teddy? All right. I want to ask you this because earlier Adam Schefter said that there was a soft market for Lamar Jackson. What do you think is a better move? Do you think it's better for them to draft a quarterback, or would it be better for them to go for Lamar Jackson?
I mean, let's see. Drafted quarterbacks. Recent years, Sam Darnold on his third team, Zach Wilson, you know, sent to the kids' table, Baker Mayfield on his fourth team or third year team in the last season. Mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota, you know, he's where's Marcus Mariota? Josh Rosen's been on a milk carton. Josh Rosen is still getting mail in eight different addresses right now. I don't know where Josh Rosen is, right? So you talk about, okay, just because you pick a guy early, he's supposed to be a worldly talent, it doesn't always translate to success in the NFL. We still have a lot of questions about guys. And we've seen a lot of guys fail.
Yeah, that's a proven commodity. You just have a proven commodity in Lamar Jackson. And is that worth taking a risk? I think it is. I think it is because Lamar has proven in the past what he's done in this league, in the NFL. We're not talking about college and we're not talking about projections or anything like that. So Lamar, I think, is going to have to somehow let teams know how committed he would be. You know, committed he would be in terms of once he did get signed by the Colts or the Lions, that I am all in. It is time to be all football because, I mean, Lamar did show last year the lack of commitment to the Ravens when I thought he could have played and he didn't play. But you got to understand the situation he was in regarding the contract. I mean, is he going to have to play that game again this year? But I think that's a question a lot of teams have, is in terms of you get Lamar and then how committed he would be. I think it would be smart of him to let them know how he is ready to be all in for another team's quarterback.
See, just a small pushback. I think he showed how committed he was by stepping on the field when everybody advised him not to. And when he stepped on the field, he had the Ravens with the best record in that division. When everybody said, do what Kyler Murray did. Say you're not going to play and whine and sit down there. He just went about his business. He not only did that, he showed up for training camp. So that told me everything about Lamar's commitment to the game. Now, when he got injured, you know, talking to Nico, a former Patriot, he was talking about that injury and how difficult it was to come back from it. So I think because it happened so late in the season, he couldn't get back and get healthy in time. But I understand why he didn't, if he didn't want to put himself at risk for a team that didn't invest in him long term.
Yeah, and what these organizations now want from their franchise 6 to 7 to 8 year contract quarterback is you set the standard for the entire team. And Lamar's commitment off the field, nutrition, rest, how he takes care of his body, all of these things. I mean, is that something who he is? I mean, that's something he needs to let them all know in terms of how committed he is. You know, does an agent help with all of that? Do social media posts happen with workout videos or whatever, but Lamar needs to let them know he is ready to make that jump to be that quarterback they can count on for 5 to 10 years.
I do have a quick question because this is giving me like flashbacks to the NBA season when Kyrie and KD wanted out of Brooklyn and then they ended up back in Brooklyn. What is the likelihood? Because we talked yesterday, Mad Dog did, about whether or not this relationship is severed. What is the likelihood that Lamar remains in Baltimore?
I mean, for me, it's starting to get personal, in my opinion. I've been in that organization, and, you know, I thought they would have committed to him early, but, you know, some of the words and, you know, before they were keeping it all, you know, behind board and, you know, all private conversations, but the fact that it's becoming public and it feels like, you know, people are saying misstatements and Lamar's coming out and saying, no, I didn't say that. Nobody's out there negotiating for me, means that it could be bad blood. And Lamar's a man of principle, as is the Ravens. But I just believe once you kind of cross that line, it's hard to repair that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I agree, Bart, because the tweet means Lamar has crossed the line. He's crossed the line in terms of I am no longer with you. I am no longer on the same page in the tweets that he sent out. This is something where that he is now in the independent contractor mode of his career. Can he play the Kirk Cousins route? I mean, can he play 2 years on a franchise tag and still go there and be a good soldier and play hard and be a leader for a team? I think Lamar and Kirk are two very different personalities. In terms of Lamar has already expressed how he takes a lot of these things personal. It's him. He's got his own agent. It's him and his mother. It's him and his family. It's him and his circle. And he feels like he's been done wrong. So him going there for 2 years, and even this year, I think it's going to be a distracting situation if I'm a player watching my quarterback not be vested in winning championships.
If I'm a great receiver, I'm not coming there. I don't know who's my quarterback's going to be, so how do you improve the team if Lamar's there for 1 year or not?
Yeah, and I mentioned that Brooklyn situation. We all know how that turned out because both of those players are no longer there.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Bronny James showing off his bunnies in last night's McDonald's All-American Jam Fest. He would place second overall, but undoubtedly stole the show. Jay, Will, what did you think?
I mean, look, he is dynamic. He is super athletic. I think his IQ is off the charts. He has a great feel for the game. He's a great representation from the LeBron James family. He's undecided. I'm going to tell you, though, Sean Stewart is that dude. He's that dude last night who won the slam dunk contest. Uh-huh. A lot of attention should be on him, but Bronny definitely put on the show.
I love all the hype high school players are getting these days, especially with social media and obviously the fact that he's LeBron James's son. Okay, it was all hands on deck for the Warriors, who took down a relentless Joel Embiid and the Sixers on Friday night. Embiid still managed to drop 40-plus, which had Draymond rethinking if the Joker was still the hardest to guard in the league. Take a listen to this.
He said, you know why I played like that tonight? You said Joker was the hardest person to guard in the league. So I took that personal. And so I'm going to tell y'all, Joel's the hardest guy to guard in the league.
All right, so Draymond keeping it real per usual, which got us thinking, who are the hardest players to guard in the league? Stephen A's list, usually now it's JJ's, and JJ has a little twist on it, going to do things a little bit different. Uh-oh. So JJ, show us what you got.
Well, let's just keep in mind, from the jump, this list is fluid. As Stephen A would say, this list is fluid. I want to address two things off the jump, okay? Two things off the jump. Number one, if your favorite player did not make this list, I do not hate him. I'm not disrespecting him, okay? There's a lot of great players, and there's a lot of players that are very tough to guard. Secondly, I'm not ranking these players. I'm going in reverse alphabetical order, because the last thing that I need right now is Steph stands on my ass. All right, let's start the list. Nikola Jokic, all right? We've got 10 years of tracking data per second spectrum. Do you know what the number one most efficient play over the last 10 years is? A Nikola Jokic post-up this season. He leads the NBA in touches. His passing is on point. He's the guy for the Denver Nuggets. Number four, Joel Embiid, the leading scorer in the NBA. Mid-range assassin, scores in the post, but what makes Joel such a nightmare to guard is his ability to get fouled. He puts that ball in his left hand at the elbow, shoots the jumper, you put your hand in, he's drawing a foul. 11 free throw attempts a game. Number three, let's see if I can get my alphabet right. Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant. Okay. We've got 27 years of tracking data, play-by-play tracking data. Kevin Durant, the only player to ever shoot 55% or more from the mid-range. He's done that three times in his career. Absolutely unstoppable in the mid-range, 7 foot. Gonna shoot over you. I had to guard Kobe in my career. I feel like Kevin Durant is a little bit like Kobe. The defense doesn't really matter. He's either gonna make it or he's gonna miss it. Number two, Steph Curry.
Okay, all
Steph
right.
Steph Curry, the amount of mental awareness, the mental exertion, the physical exertion of chasing him through screens able to shoot in the blink of an eye. But once he gets the ball, your work is not done because he uses his dribble package, his hesitation to either shoot step back threes or get all the way to the basket. And number one on the list by alphabet, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Number one in the league in fast break points, number one in the league in transition points. He is relentless in attacking the basket. He's got a chance, he's on pace, he's got a chance to be only the fifth player ever to average 30, 10, and 5 in an NBA season.
Okay.
Jay, I want to hear it.
Okay, I have nothing to say about Giannis. I have nothing to say about Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. I can't do it. I got nothing to say. Jokic, though? Are you going to take Jokic over Kyrie Irving? Jokic over Luka Doncic? Like, these are two of the most prolific scoring guards the game of basketball has ever seen. I know it's not equating to winning. I know people are always going to say, well, look what Dallas is going on, and these guys can't win games. There's a lot of other issues in Dallas other than these two players. But, JJ, watching Kyrie Irving play, you can't tell me there's a guard or anybody that can stop Kyrie Irving on an island by himself. Luka Doncic, one of the most prolific scoring guards at 6'7", who can get anywhere he wants to go on the floor. Even though you might think he's slow, nobody's stopping with the way he maneuvers to the bucket. I would replace Joker with one of those two guards.
But you're leaving Embiid on.
The footwork, man, that's hard for me. I can't. It's different. I mean, they're both different.
Okay.
They're both different. I'm going to put a guard on.
Here's my response with the Jokic critique, okay? Number one, part of the show, Jay, is listening.
Yes.
Part of the show is listening.
I don't listen.
Did you hear what I said?
What did you say?
The number one most efficient play in 10 years of tracking data is this guy posting up.
I'm not talking about
So you
want to
talk about a score? What is it?
But I'm talking about getting a bucket.
Okay. On
getting
the defensive
a bucket.
Getting a stop. That's what's hard. That is what's hard. This is the hardest thing to stop. A Nikola Jokic post up. Secondly, on that critique, Draymond Green is one of the greatest defenders in NBA history. That is a fact. That is a fact. And if that guy says it, I tend
He's
to believe
He's doing it for his podcast. Come on.
God.
Stop it with the Draymond.
Oh,
stop with the Draymond Green stuff.
There were four guys that were really,
Who are your honorable mentions?
Really, really hard.
Give me your honorable
to
mentions.
Keep off this list. I wish it was JJ's list with nine players.
Can I just tell you?
And Kyrie was one of them.
Yep.
Luka was another. One of them.
Thank you.
Dame was another.
Dame in the list.
And Shea.
Can I tell you something?
Shea is almost impossible to guard.
I thought you'd take stands. That's not the J.J. Redick I know. The J.J. Redick I know will come down and shoot the ball even if it's 1-on-3.
That's fact.
I've seen it. Yeah. I know who you are. It is weak. It is pathetic that you have not numbered who the best scorers in the game are. You are literally bending knee to social media because you don't want to put numbers on names. And that's not who I know. So let's do it. Can we have an exercise together? Let's name them, Jay. Let's name them, JJ.
Fine. Let's
go. Yeah, let's go ahead
one,
and do it.
One, two.
Who? Wait. Wait, you said one Giannis.
Two.
You're giving, so KD's not two.
You, three, wait, four, time, five.
See,
let's go.
This is what I'm talking about. Hold on,
let's
time
go.
Out. You just made an argument that he is the most unstoppable force there is on the planet. And you're going to have him, where's he? Number five?
He's number five.
He's the most, you just said he's the most unstoppable force on the planet. You
his
said he can't be guarded.
Up is,
you just gave me this whole thing about efficiency.
No, but your point about scoring volume matters here.
Okay.
When we're talking about hardest players to guard.
Okay.
I would add, of these players, who is the best playmaker?
Okay.
Who gets their teammates the best shots?
Okay, great.
This guy.
Okay. So, but if we're doing rankings, a player gets you a bucket. You hate this. I can say it in your face. I see it when you start smiling and then you don't smile.
I
you go back
them.
To serious.
One,
I know you.
Two.
This is, one.
Three, four, five.
Okay, one, two, three.
That's you?
No, no, I'm not asking you.
Was it
three or here? Because you went,
specified.
You kind of went quick here. Which one is it? Stephen Curry fans? Is it Steph
three,
or is it KD?
Four.
Kevin Durant's the
five.
Fourth greatest scorer.
I didn't say he was the fourth greatest scorer.
Hardest
now you're putting words in
hardest
mouth.
Cigar.
Hardest cigar.
The seven-footer who can get a shot over anybody on this planet? J.J. Redick.
Did you hear what I said?
No, no, I'm confused now because you're saying a lot of stuff. You're saying efficiency. You're at five.
What are you talking
one.
About?
I don't know. You're
I've
talking
been
me
very
in circles.
Clear. You're trying to talk me in circles. I've been very clear on this.
Don't you point your finger at me.
Can I ask you a question? LeBron James not on this list. Why is that?
I'm talking about, again, this list is
fluid.
It's fluid.
That's so
But this
soft.
Is hardest NBA players to guard, period. It's not like this week. So how can it be fluid?
It's fluid because it's right now. Right now.
In your mind, right
and
now.
And LeBron James is hurt. All right,
okay.
So wait.
How would you rate this list right now?
I thought the segment's not about me, but I'll do it. I will go hardest to guard, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's how you rank them.
That's how I would do it.
Okay.
And by the way, where would you have your honorable mentions? Finish it. Finish the job. You said you
four
had Dame.
More. Four more. You said
you had Dame. You had Luka.
How I said it. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Luka. Kyrie. Luka, Dame, Kyrie, Shea.
Okay. So Shea.
And LeBron James, when he's back, you know, we can revisit this. But he's
because it's fluid.
Okay.
It's like you would never interview a player on a podcast if he was hurt, right?
I'm
not going to include him in this list as of today.
What?
Because he's hurt.
We'll play.
Okay. That's perfectly fine. We'll give you a B+ just because it's that.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jay Will, I'm going to start with you on this one. Just kidding. JJ, I'm going to start with you on this one.
JJ, go first.
All right. No. Will the West or the East be better in the playoffs this year?
In terms of entertainment value. Entertainment value,
okay.
As a basketball fan, I think the Western Conference first round will be very compelling because these teams have been bunched together, 4 through 13, pretty much all season. Memphis, Sacramento, Denver have separated themselves. But when you look at some potential first round matchups for even those teams, I mean, what a Lakers-Denver series in the first round, a Golden State Sacramento series in the first, like, that's going to be really entertaining. But I think overall it's got to be the Eastern Conference. I think they have three of the four best teams in the NBA this season. We're looking at a potential second round matchup of Philly versus Boston, a potential second round matchup of Milwaukee versus Cleveland. Cleveland, of course, has the number two net rating in the NBA. They've got an exciting young core, all under 26 years old. I'm excited to see Darius Garland and Evan Mobley in the playoffs for the first time. Then you look at a potential finals in the Eastern Conference where you could have Boston, Milwaukee, like, to me, the later we go in the playoffs, the East actually becomes more compelling.
Is it about who are the best teams to have a chance to win, or is it about being most intriguing? Because I'm getting confused here with the argument that JJ's presenting here. Entertaining.
I think I laid out a very sound argument, Jay. You're doing it again.
Obviously, you're only speaking from your perspective.
You're doing it again.
Of course you're going to think it's interesting.
You're
you know what I find interesting? That's what I say on this show, okay? It's not what you say.
You're twisting my words,
Jay. Look, intriguing means entertainment value, JJ.
Yeah.
Intriguing is March Madness. Now, regardless of whether teams like FAU or San Diego State get the public appeal because they missed the Blue Bloods, you're still entertained. Are you not entertained? You just sat up here on national TV and made my argument for me. You don't want to see LeBron James and Anthony Davis go against Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets in the first round. You don't want to see these matchups in which is the wild, wild west. And we got the Sacramento Kings, which I listen to all these shows. We're like, oh, yeah, what Sacramento's doing is cute. Sacramento literally has a chance to get to the Western Conference Finals. This storyline that we've had about Ja Morant this year in the NBA, he comes back now having time off, being rested. A chance of redemption story, JJ. Don't we love redemption stories? You're telling me the Denver Nuggets, a team that I literally do Denver Talk Radio 2 times a week, every week. And thank you, JJ. I appreciate
that.
And every single, the theme for 3 years has been, this team does not get the respect that they deserve. And I said, okay, guys, 2 years ago, when you become that team on the top of the mountain, be ready, because everybody's going to want to disprove the fact that you are the team to beat. You're telling me people don't want to see Jokic lose? Mm. You're telling me people aren't building up the Denver Nuggets to lose so they can say, ha, that's your MVP. Look at it. All these themes that are participating. The Golden State Warriors. Is this the end of an era? Bob Myers hasn't gotten extended. Draymond Green has not gotten extended. Do they have enough left in the tank?
This is where I think, Jay, in all seriousness, this is where I think you've spent too much time on the show, because you're talking about narratives. I'm talking about basketball. I'm talking about Milwaukee versus Boston. Give me seven more games of that.
Okay, that's a great series.
Gentlemen, we have got to cut you guys off. You guys obviously have a lot more to talk about in the situation. You guys can come back a little bit later, because we have to get to something else, but we'll see you very soon. Time to get extreme. There was a showdown in D.C. as the XFL's two best teams in the Houston Roughnecks and the undefeated DC Defenders face off last night. The Defenders came out on top 37-26 to remain the lone undefeated team in the XFL. Houston, led by former Super Bowl winning coach Wade Phillips, have now lost two straight but still hold the best record in the South Division. And speaking of Wade Phillips, he joins the show now. Good morning, Coach. I want to mention, before we get into the questions, I was actually an intern for that Super Bowl 50 team that you won, so you got me a Super Bowl ring. I want to say thank you very much for that. Tough loss last night. Your team had a great start to the game in the first quarter, but was unable to keep the momentum going. They committed 12 penalties, their most in a game this season. What was the message to the team after last night's loss?
Well, first thing is, you know, we need to play better. We have to give DC a lot of credit. They have a really good football team. We felt like the two best teams were playing. We're playing at their place, which is a long travel for us. But, we had way too many penalties. We had 100 yards in penalties. We hadn't had anywhere close to that the whole season. They had 8 first downs on penalties. So those things certainly hurt us. But we could have played better overall.
We have such a successful season going on. Is it good to kind of have one of these type of losses when you can have the corrective tape? Because a lot of times when you win games, what can make you lose in big games kind of gets swept under the rug. But now you can hold guys accountable and get their attention back, because now they're hitting a little bit of adversity. So now they have to find out about themselves.
That's exactly the point. Sometimes you get, winning is great. I want to thank her for interning at Super Bowl, because that was fun for us. But we lost games that year too, and so it refocuses your team. You see the things you're doing well, but you also can correct people a little more. So we're trying to get back on track.
Coach, what has it been like coaching for the home team in Houston?
It's been great. You know, we've won every game at home. And, we lost Seattle. We lost to Seattle a long road trip, and D.C. a long road trip. But if we can win our division, we play at home. And then the championship game's in San Antonio. So a little closer to home for us.
Well, you know, Houston's a place that you're familiar with. You know, I always consider you one of the greatest defensive minds. I put you there with Dick LeBeau, Jim Johnson, and Buddy Ryan. When these guys came in and looked for this second opportunity to have a chance to play the game that they love, you know, what was the attitude as far as making sure that this league was successful and making sure you guys played the game the best way and put a great product on the field?
Well, I hope coaching's part of it, but like you said, the players are really focused in on they're so attentive. They try to do everything you ask them to do. They want to do well. They want, you know, they want another opportunity in the NFL, and we're trying to give them that. But it's fun to be around them. They have fun playing football. And of course, I have fun coaching football. So it gives them another chance to play another year, which is always fun.
All right, Coach, thank you so much. We wish you much success in the rest of your XFL season, and thank you for joining us here on First Take.
I might have two plays left in me, Coach. I might have two plays left in me, Coach.
All right.
Get Bart out there. That'd be
a
great.
Couple, okay?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive.
eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We now welcome in the bucket getter, Caitlin Clark. Caitlin, I want to start there. First of all, we're all really huge fans of yours. What a historic performance against Louisville. When you reflect on that game, how do you feel about your performance?
You know, I thought I played pretty well, but I think the biggest thing, you know, we kind of got off to a slow start in that game, but nobody on our team was really frazzled. All we did was, you know, we came back and we responded and we were able to build, you know, a nice, comfortable lead there in the third quarter. And then I thought, you know, we executed down the stretch when we needed to. So, you know, I'm just really proud of this group. You know, Louisville has had a tremendous season, and, you know, that's not an easy game by any means. And, you know, they pressed us, threw a lot of different defenses at us. So, you know, I'm just proud of this group. But, you know, our goal is to win two more. We didn't come to Dallas just to be satisfied here. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can to win two more basketball games.
Caitlin, I've listened to you talk before. I know you're going to make your answers about your team and about the mission at hand, which is to win a national championship. And you should. But I actually want to talk to you for a second about you. You know, there are times I've talked to Coach K, and I've heard Greg Popovich say this as well, where certain players become one with the game, right? Them and the game become connected. And you enter a flow state. I've seen this. Can you describe to our viewers and us, you know, both JJ and I have been in these states before, like, where does your mind go? What do you think about when you go into that flow state? Like, how do you channel that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, like, for me going into any game is, you know, I always fall back on the work I put in and the time I put in the gym. I think that's just the biggest thing, and that's where my confidence stems from. You know, I'm not just confident because, you know, I love playing basketball. It's because, you know, all the time I put in the gym, and I love being in the gym working with my team. And, you know, we had an early exit from the NCAA tournament last year, so I feel like that's kind of put a fire inside of me that maybe I've never had before, or our team never had the previous two seasons I was here. And, you know, I think that's kind of carried us and drove us. But I think that's where all my confidence stems from. And then obviously when you get in a game and you see a few shots go through the rim, you know, that gets you going as well.
Caitlin, for a few years now, you've been getting a lot of love and praise on social media from basketball legends like Steph Curry and LeBron James. Sue Bird was at your game on Sunday. What does all of that mean for you at this stage in your career?
You know, I think it still takes me back a little bit. You know, I was just a little kid. It feels like a short while ago, and I idolized all of them, and I still do idolize them. So I think more than anything, it makes you just keep wanting to work hard. But yeah, I think having Sue Bird come to our shoot around and see all the team react like that, and even, you know, I was taken back and was like, oh my gosh, I mean, she's the one of the greatest to ever pick up a basketball. And you know, she's grown the game so much, and that's what I admire about her. Not only a tremendous basketball player, but an even better person. So, you know, I think whenever somebody like that comments on your game or comes and watches, it's, you know, a pretty special moment, not only for myself, but, you know, our entire program.
I heard a story about you, and I might be giving a little bit too much of a peek behind the curtain, but I did hear a story about you going to men's practices and going up to the men's practice players at Iowa and telling the practice players that they were not practicing hard enough, that they needed to show the guys different looks because that's not what the opponent was going to show in the game. What about you gives you that drive to want to push not only your own teammates, but also the guys on the men's side?
Yeah, no, I think having our practice players around, they're like our best friends. And those are the people that push me every single day in practice to get better. You know, I love getting to compete, and I'm lucky enough to play for a coach that, you know, when we come to practice, we're not just doing a bunch of drills. You know, we're playing live basketball. We're playing against one another. And that's the best way to get better, in my opinion, is just to go out there and compete, you know, get up and down. So, you know, I want them to guard me hard. You know, if it's really, really hard in practice, you know, it can only be easier in a game. And then I'm prepared for anything that a defense can throw at me. So I'm definitely a fiery and intense person. But, you know, off the court, I'm probably one of the goofiest people you'll ever meet. So, you know, more than anything, I just have a drive to get better. And, you know, I'm lucky to be surrounded by a team and a program that, you know, has that same drive and passion. And that's, you know, the reason we're in Dallas right now.
Kaitlin, you're going against another head coach who is also fiery and competitive and has a crazy drive. And her as a hooper was on a different level as well. What kind of challenges does South Carolina present for your squad?
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing but absolute respect for Coach Staley and what she's been able to do. Like you said, she's not only a tremendous person, but also a tremendous basketball coach. You know, she's the national team head coach, and she's been nothing but respectful and appreciative of my game. So what she's been able to build at South Carolina has been absolutely incredible. But, you know, they haven't lost a game all season. But I think the biggest thing for us is just understanding, you know, this is a bigger stage, but we don't have to be anything other than ourselves. Just go out there and play Iowa basketball. Obviously, we're going to need a rebound and execute offensively. But I think as long as we're us, you know, that's going to give us a pretty good shot. And, you know, it's March Madness. Really, anything can happen. That's why it's the greatest postseason tournament in all of sports.
You've said since you were being recruited that your goal was to make a Final Four at Iowa. And now you're here. How are you feeling about that? And also, more importantly, what would a national championship mean to you?
Yeah, I think it still hasn't sunk in that we're really here in Dallas. But this is everything we worked for. You know, we've had a lot of ups and downs through my 3 years here. And, you know, to be able to have the same starting five for 3 years is pretty special, too. And I'm lucky enough, you know, that not only, you know, do I have amazing teammates, but they're also my best friends. And I think that's what, you know, makes us have so much fun together on the court. But, yeah, we're in Dallas, but we're not here to just have fun. You know, we're going to take a business-like approach. And, you know, we want to win 2 games and bring a national championship back to Iowa City. So that's certainly our goal. And we're going to soak up every single second that we get to be here because, you know, it's so hard to get to this point. But we're also here to win. And I think that's the most important thing.
I want to ask you, because I've heard you say before that your range just keeps getting longer and longer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've seen Steph Curry pull up from, like, outside of the arena. How exactly do you work on your range? Because you said as your career goes on, it's just going to get even more long.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, those are shots I go in and practice. You know, it's not like I just get in the game and start chucking those shots up. So whenever I'm in the gym working on my game and getting shots up, you know, those are the type of shots I'm shooting, you know, off the dribble, in transition. You know, those are, you know, my favorite shots to take. So I think that's the biggest thing. But also I think, you know, strength and conditioning has also helped me. You know, your shot can't change, you know, the further you're shooting back from the three-point line. And I think, you know, that's kind of what you see with my shot. You know, my form is never really changing. It always has to stay the same and the same shot mechanics. So I think that's the biggest thing, you know. I think with the strength I've gained over my past few years, you know, that's helped me to, you know, increase my range. And that obviously makes me harder to guard and stretches the defense out and makes it easier for my teammates as well.
You probably would have been on JJ's list if he put if he did all of basketball, you would have been on that hardest to guard list.
Hardest to guard.
Exactly.
Sure. Exactly.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kaitlin, for joining us. I'll be in Dallas and excited to watch you guys take on South Carolina on Friday.
Good luck, Kaitlin.
Thanks.
Good luck, Kaitlin.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I had to cut you off the last conversation you guys were having, and I'm sure you guys continued it in the green room, but let's go back to that conversation. Will the West or the East be better in the playoffs?
Oh, I'm just mad at what J.J. Redick said. He said, I've been a part of the show for too long, and I follow narratives now, and I can no longer watch or understand basketball. So let's actually dig into some of the basketball nuances. You're not going to tell me Mike Brown is up for Coach of the Year? That he hasn't done a hell of a job with the Sacramento Kings? Mm-hmm. Like, that's, we can get inside basketball on how they played. the storyline with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who actually won last night against the Kings, and the style in which they're playing with Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, getting Anthony Edwards back, finding their rhythm, their playing, and how they defend the rim and how they play. I mean, think about the Denver Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr. shooting a career best 45% from the three-point line in the month of March, and the style in which they play. There are so many storylines that are applicable to how we play basketball, JJ, that I think you find these storylines and these basketball nuances way more intriguing than you do the Eastern Conference.
You're going to sit here and tell me. You're going to sit here
I just told you on it.
That you're more excited about a potential Minnesota-Sacramento matchup in the first round than a Boston-Philly matchup in the second round.
I'm more excited about the L.A. Lakers and LeBron James coming off injury for 4 weeks going against the number one seed that people don't believe is truly the number one seed. Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair. Like I said,
we agreed on that.
No, like I said, the West is going to be fantastic. It's going to be very intriguing, all of that stuff. I think the hard part for me is even knowing what the second round matchups are going to be. So when I say the East is going to be better,
are we sure Philly's
going
to get there?